Hello and welcome to our program. We're looking in Luke chapter 9, verse number 7. It says, Herod was perplexed. Stay tuned. Our previous program, the Lord had sent out the 12. This was a major change. For about a year and a half, they've been just watching what he was doing. Now he sent them out, and he gave them power even to raise the dead, and of course to heal sickness and all manner of diseases. And as they went out, the main thing they were doing, we saw, was they were preaching. Well, in verses 7 through 9, we see that this got Herod's attention. And we read in verse 7, Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. It is interesting to note that Herod picked up the fact that the focus was not on the 12 disciples, but what Herod heard about, verse 7, is what was done by him, that was by Christ. And he said, who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him, not the 12. He desired to see Jesus. Well, he had an ulterior motive in all of that, but he asked the question, who is this? Verse number 9. Chapter 5 and 21, we have that question, who is this? In chapter 7 and verse 49, we have that question, who is this? And then in chapter 8 and verse 25, the question, what manner of man is this? And then chapter 9 and verse 9, again, here, who is this? 9 and 18, Jesus asked, whom say the people that I am? Thomas had the right answer in John 20 and 28. He said, my Lord and my God. That's who he was to Thomas. Who is he to you? Is he just some great prophet that lived in the past? Is he just some religious icon? Or is he your personal Savior? Well, we want to explain a couple of verses in this chapter, a couple of sections that I think need some explaining down in Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. It says that it came to pass as he, that is Christ, was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answered and said, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say that one of the prophets is risen from the dead. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now here Peter had the right answer. Peter answering said, verse 20, the Christ of God. Now look at what he says in verse number 21. He says here, and he, that is Christ, straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Why? Why would he say, don't tell anybody who I am? Well, the answer to that question is that Peter said that he was the Christ. That word means the Messiah of the Jews, and that one who came to be their king and to set up his kingdom. Now, he said, and he explains it in verse 22. He said, he charged them, commanded them, tell no man that focus on Christ, saying, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. The whole plan of salvation is far more important than God's plan for a nation in a physical sense as being their king. Well, when we get down into verse number 27, we have this verse that says, But I, Jesus said this, I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. What is he talking about here? Christ didn't come back before some who were standing there saw the kingdom of God. Well, the Bible is it's very important. We've said many times, if we compare Scripture with Scripture. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, Peter said in verse 16 that they were eyewitnesses of something. What were they eyewitnesses of? Well, in verse 17 it says, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Where did that happen? Well, it happened when John was baptizing, but that's not what it's talking about here, because in verse 18 it says, and this voice came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And so he's saying now, we were eyewitnesses, we heard a voice, and we were on the mountain when that happened. Now, if we go back to our scripture here in verse number 27, it says, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Well, that happened 8 days later. We read in verse 28, it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And verse 35 says, there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Again, now Peter, back in 2 Peter, says there was a voice, and he says they were in the mountain. Luke 9 and verse 28 says they were in the mountain, and they heard this voice. And so what he's referring to here in Luke 9 and 27, when he says, I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God, he is referring to what happened here 8 days later. Well, in chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, we have the very familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000. And we looked at that in our series on the book of John, so we won't take time to look at that again here. But we'll skip down to verse number 23, and this is extremely important. And, of course, all the Bible is extremely important. We read in verse 23, and he said unto them, that is, Jesus said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We have a sickening picture today of Jesus standing on the sidelines just pleading, saying, oh, I sure wish that you would just get saved. Now, he does. He wants all men everywhere to get saved. But we have this picture like, well, we're doing him a great favor if we just get saved. Well, he said, if, verse number 23, and it's either if or if not a man will come after me. It's simply a choice. We see in verse 23, whosoever will. Back in verse 5, we see whosoever will not. He said, who will come, verse 23. John 5 and 40, he said, who will not come. It's a choice. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, one, let him deny himself. Deny himself. That is to lose sight of one's own personal interest. Number two, he says, take up his cross daily. The cross is a metaphor here of self-denial. A.W. Tozer said years ago, the man in Roman times who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. He was not coming back. He was going out to have it ended. Take up the cross daily. And then number three, he said, follow me. That is a metaphor for us to do what Christ does. And that principle is found 77 times in the four Gospels. And so in Luke 14, he said in verse 25, there was a great multitudes with him, and he turned, and he said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he didn't actually mean that we would hate them. He was saying, if they are more important to you than I am, you cannot be my disciple. Then again, in verse 27, he said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then down at verse number 33, he said, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. He said in verse 28, sit down and count the cost. He said, get ready, because in verse 31, you're going to war. It's not some kind of a recreation room that we're into. It's a battlefield that we're on as Christians today. Gypsy Smith said it this way, he, that is Christ, never made it easy, and the man who makes it easy to be a Christian preaches a mongrel gospel. A new plan of salvation has filtered into our so-called fundamental movement. We use the same language as the old prophets used to use, but we just have a new unscriptural meaning for them all. Today, there's no demands, there's no rejection of the old way, just a minor redirection in life, and we call it Christianity. It is politically correct Christianity. It is publicly acceptable Christianity, but it's not found in the Word of God. It is completely missing the meaning of the cross. The cross completely slays the person. Paul the Apostle put it this way in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Take a look at the life of Paul the Apostle. Study it in the Word of God and see how he was accepted or rejected of the people of the world. Today we have a new program. It's let's just be politically correct and let's have a publicly accepted Christianity. Well, it is just not found in the Word of God. There was a time we had prophets. Today we have diplomats. A diplomat is a person who can deal with people in a sensitive way. Well, that doesn't sound much like Elijah or Elisha. That doesn't sound like John the Baptist. That didn't sound like Peter and his messages to unsaved people or his messages to Christians. It doesn't sound like Paul the Apostle either when he preached to unsaved people or when he preached to Christians. He was very explicit. He was no diplomat trying to figure out a sensitive way to preach the Word of God. He just preached, and we've said before that word preach means to herald. Hear ye, thus saith the king. That's what the king says. He wasn't a diplomat, he was a herald. He came in and preached the word of God. Like Nathan back in the Old Testament, when he went with his message to a Christian, even the king, King David. Nathan was not a diplomat, Nathan was a prophet. He said to the king, thou art the man. Well, as we conclude our broadcast today, I want to read what Jesus said again in this chapter in verse 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels.